Morning. I greet in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I've selected for our call to worship this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, and it's printed on the cover of the bulletin if you would like to read along. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's turn to hymn 18, and we'll stand as we sing this.
Father, what a privilege it is to be gathered into thy house of worship this morning, to turn our attentions to those things of greater worth than what we many times spend our time and attention on, even those things of eternity. And we pray, Father, that as we share in this service today, that your Spirit would be with us, and that as we share in the spoken word, and as our brother brings to us those words of life, that indeed the power of your Spirit might carry those words deep within our hearts, and that we might come to a greater recognition of that great love that you have bestowed upon each one of us, and that your Son has even gone to the cross and taken upon him each of our sins, that we might not have to bear the burden of them, and that he has washed us clean. And so we pray, Father, that through this time together, that we might be drawn closer to thee, that our hearts would be knit together in love and unity before thee and before all mankind. And bless us to this end, for we ask it in the worthy name of Jesus, who is our Master, our Lord, and our Redeemer. Amen.
I would just like to make a brief announcement regarding our offering today. As many of you are aware, there is a lot of turmoil going on in Rwanda and the Congo, and we have saints there that are there in the middle of it, and they are having a very extremely difficult time. And I know there are many that would like to donate for that cause. To assist them. They're having a hard time getting food and water, and so we were hoping to assist in that work. And so if those of you that were not aware of this, because it's not in the news, you know, they've not been publicizing it, but Brother Chris has, you know, the direct insight into what is going over there, and they are in trouble, and they need our help. And so if this is the first time you're hearing about it, or if you're already aware and you want to donate, all you need to do is on your envelope, either put it under oblation and make a note next to it that is for the saints in Rwanda, or you could probably go down to the special fund, one of those lines, and write that in there, just so long that that Rob knows that's what you want to put that money towards. And so you can donate. We don't need to take a second offering up. We can just put that in your envelope and just indicate that so Rob knows that you want to give to that cause. And I think it's a worthy cause. I think, you know, they need our help. And so in that frame of mind, to draw our minds and attention to how we want to give these gifts today, let's consider these words from the third chapter of Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Will the deacons please come forward? Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed come before you today, bearing our gifts to you with a thankful heart, with a joyful heart. Father, we know and we understand how richly you have blessed us in so many ways that we can't even count, Father. And we seek to give back those things that you've blessed us with. And we seek to bless your people, Father. Bless your saints that are in harm's way around the world. And Father, we do give these things joyfully and willingly, to build up your kingdom, to bring you glory, and to assist your work. Father, please take what we give joyfully. Take it and assist us in using it wisely, and let it do much good for your kingdom. These things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
found that I'm not nearly as adept with my left hand as I thought I was. So I may be a little slow in some of this morning, but bear with me if you would, please. From Hosea chapter 12, we read these words. After the sons of Mosiah had done all these things, they took a small number with them and returned to their father the king and desired of him that he would grant them that they might, with those whom they had selected, go up to the land of Nephi, that they might preach the things which they had heard, and that they might impart the word of God to their brethren, the Lamanites, that perhaps they might bring them to the knowledge of the Lord their God and convince them of the iniquity of their fathers. They also desired that perhaps they might cure them of their hatred toward the Nephites, that they might also be brought to rejoice in the Lord their God, that they might become friendly to one another, and that there should be no more contentions in all the land which the Lord their God had given them. They were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment caused them to quake and tremble. Thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they had been the very vilest of sinners. Every time I hear that song, I think of the first time that I heard it at a reunion when we were down in El Dorado Springs. And I remember thinking, wow, that's really not a song, it's a prayer. But as we sing it, that prayer is definitely magnified and should be a prayer that we sing often in our hearts. Because this is really all about God and His work and His plan to bring to pass our immortality and eternal life. Because He tells us that is His work and His glory. His one desire is to bring us back into his presence. And he's made a plan for that to happen through his son, Jesus Christ. And so that's some of the things I want to talk to us about today, talk with you about. But before I do that, I wanted to share a little report from Rwanda and maybe a testimony or two. We did send some money over this week from some of the funds that we had in our oblations. And the priesthood received those, and they were meeting together as a group to determine, kind of triage the needs of the people and get that money to into the hands of those who needed it the most. And so that is happening and has happened in some cases. Money was also taken last Sunday by one of the elders there from Kigali to Gisenyi, to Brother Duard in Congo. So they were able to get some funds to them. There had been a lull in the fighting in the streets there for a short time on Monday, and he reported to them that he was able. They were able to get to a market where they were able to find some food and water to get them by for some time. So that has definitely helped them there, and they appreciate very much your response to help them, and also just us thinking of them and praying for them. I've got one of the brothers sent me a response from one of our saints there, and I'll try to play this for you. It's going to be in their language, so you won't understand the words, but I think you will understand his sentiment as he shares with you. If I can find that on my phone here.
Mko vye, tunashukuru sana kwa maombi yenu, mefanya kazi, kwa kweli Mungu ametuvusha. Ametuvusha hali nzito na ngumu. Tumeona mengi, tumeishi mengi, lakini Mungu wa neema na upendo amesikia maombi yenu, tumefichwa. Tunasema Mungu awabariki kwa kuweza kutuchukilia. Shukrani yetu ya pili tena ni kushukuru kuangalia tena kama mmetujali. Umetutumia chakula. Toa shukrani zetu kwa kanisa letu lote la hapo Rwanda. Uambie tunashukuru sana, asante sana, tena sana, tena sana. Na Mungu awabariki, na Mungu awazidishie. Ila tungali tuna haja tena ya maombi yenu, maana hali si nzuri. Mwendelee tu kutuombea, Mungu atufunike na damu yake. Asante kwa yote. Ubarikiwe kwa ujasiri. Barikie kwa kutuombea, barikie kwa kuweza kutujulia hali. Mungu ndio atawalipa. Sisi hatuna cha kuwalipa. Ila msipozimia mioyo, Mungu wa mbinguni atawalipa. Shukrani na asante. Toa salamu zetu kwa kanisa lote. Kwa binafsi salimia Nyabade sana sana, tunawapenda sana. Asante.
He says, this is a saint from the Congo, thanking God for the small help they were able to get. They were asking for prayers. Things are still bad there. They're thanking all the saints and that they love you. And that is this message in brief. you can feel and sense the appreciation there. And you hear the word so many times, Santa Sana. Thank you. Thank you. As I was reading the scripture from Mosiah about these four sons of Mosiah, and these were four young men who had spent most of their days and their youth working to try to destroy the works of the church and to tell people that their fathers were fools and that the things that they were teaching were not true until they had an experience with the Lord. At the request of their fathers, an angel came and they had an experience where they knew and they understood. In particular, their companion, Alma the younger, was struck down as if he were dead, couldn't speak. And his testimony during that time was that he was in the darkest abyss, and his soul was racked with torment, and he just couldn't stand it. His soul was pained, but he remembered the things that his father had taught about Jesus Christ, and he laid hold on that thought of Jesus Christ and cried out to him. And in that moment, the pain and the guilt that he had been racked with was gone. And it was replaced with this understanding. Replaced with this love of Jesus Christ. And everything was changed in that moment. As it was for these four young men who were his companions, as they saw and witnessed this thing. And from that time forward, they couldn't stand the thoughts. They could not bear that any human soul should perish. Even the very thought that any soul should endure endless torment caused them to quake and to tremble. And so they spent the remainder of their days seeking out the lost, seeking opportunity to share the good news of the gospel and to try to bring those people to an understanding and to bring them to a place where they could experience the joy and the hope that comes with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I shared with you a testimony about being there in Rwanda with the saints and last March, March 23. There, and it was the rainy season, and everything just turns to mud, and the mud there is just slick, and it's very difficult to get around. And they were doing a lot of construction there near the home that I was staying in, and I'm not, you know me, I'm not graceful anyway. But climbing those hills became very difficult. And it was to the point where I was on hands and knees, clawing my way to the top of this hill to get to the house, covered in mud when we got there, and really no shower facilities to clean up in. But after one long day there, and several days that had preceded that, and climbing up and down the hills, and going to places and sharing with people, I told you how weary I was that day and how I had the experience there when we showed up. And I was to teach classes to a group there in Gaseke. And I was spent and I didn't know where I could get the energy from. And as we went in the building, the people said, "Can we do something different today? Can we share our testimonies with you?" And how I sat under the ministry of those testimonies for 3 hours and it was like having slept for 2 days. And my energy was renewed and my strength was renewed. And I knew that God was there buoying me up. The next day came and it was raining. And I was not looking forward to the trip down the hill because it goes real quick. You just make sure there's nothing in front of you as you go down the hill. But our brother came to me that morning and you could tell that he didn't really want to talk to me. But he said, Chris, he said, I think it would be best if you stayed home today. Man, that's a shot to your ego, isn't it? I'm like, okay. He said, no, he says, we'll go and we'll come back and you can spend the day today, however you and the Lord decide you want to spend that. But he says, I think you should stay here. And the Lord had prepared that time too. Because that day as I got ready and I opened my books, set ready, prepared for a day of study, the Lord poured this Spirit out upon me. The Spirit that enveloped these four brothers. And he brought to my mind that I would share the next day was a matter of life and death. I was given to know that there was a question that would be asked, and that the answer to that question would bring two individuals to life or to eternal death. And I attacked the scriptures that day in a way that I've never done in my life. I tore through the pages, searching, as I was led by the Holy Spirit. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. Until I reached a point in the day and I felt that the Lord had fulfilled and answered that question the way that it needed to be answered the next day. That next day we went to the town of Niemata. Those of you who know anything about history, it's a town where the majority of the people who were killed during the genocide were killed in this town. 150,000 people in this one town alone. But the Lord has come to Niemata and wants every one of them to know of his plan to bring them back into his presence. We went there and we had a baptismal service that day. There were 15 or 20 people baptized, and typically what we do on those days when we have planned to have a baptism is we'll have the baptismal service, we'll come back to where we're worshiping at, which is usually in a home there, and have a service there explaining the ordinance of baptism of the Spirit. And then we proceed with that ordinance of the baptism of the Spirit. And then after that, we share with them in the sacrament to the new members and everyone else that's there, celebrating their new life in God through Jesus Christ. We came back from the baptismal service, and I was preparing. I knew that they were probably going to ask me to do those remarks. They always do, or whoever is there. And so I was preparing for those remarks, and one of the elders came to me and says, "We need to, before we go on, we need to answer a question." There are two men here that have a question. And I knew what was coming. And he posed the question to me. And I opened my notes and I began to speak. And it was one of those times that I began to speak, but I knew that it wasn't my words that were coming out of my mouth. That the Lord had spent that previous day preparing me to be a tool in his hands to share with them the answer to this question that they needed answered in their minds. And as I spoke, I watched their faces and recognized in their faces that they understood and received the truth of those words. And I stopped speaking, and I looked to them, and they nodded their heads, and they said, "We're satisfied. We want to be baptized too." And I say all that because I want you to understand that I had nothing to do with any of that. It was because of my weakness that I was left behind. But it was because of the strength of the Lord that he prepared me to be a tool in his hands. And he cared so much for the lives of these two men, the eternal lives of these two men, that he prepared me to be ready to be his mouthpiece and to share with them the answer to the question that they needed answered. And I have news for all of us. He has the same desire for each and every one of us. He wants each and every one of you to have your questions answered. He wants each and every one of you to come back into his presence through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's prepared a way that we can do that. Somebody ever asked you, "What is it that you believe?" Or maybe, "Why are you so happy?" Or maybe, "Why do you go to church so much?" Or maybe, "Why don't you do this or that?" And so that question comes, and I've found that you have a very short window of opportunity to reply to that answer, to that question, or to that statement, perhaps. I was doing a little research. The average attention span of a person 14 to 31 years of age used to be 61 minutes in the 1950s. Do you know what the average attention span of a 14 to a 31-year-old is now? 8.5 seconds. That's the research. On the low side, on the high side, 20 minutes. So if you do the math there, you have about 5 minutes of someone's attention to explain why you believe what you believe or what it is that you believe that you feel that they need. Do we as a people care enough about the welfare of the souls around us that we're willing to take that 5 minutes to share with them what it is that we believe and what it is that they need to have eternal life? Can you get it down to 5 minutes? Can you explain in 5 minutes what it is that you believe that has brought you to the hope of eternal life? I think we can. Because he says his gospel is simple, right? It's easy to be understood. He says even an 8-year-old child can understand it to the point where they can make a decision to follow him. He wants us to represent him. We are ambassadors for Christ, as the scriptures tell us. But he wants us to have a concern and a care and a love for them that we're willing to share with them what it is that they need. There's a story of a pediatric nurse. She loved working with children. All of us love kids, don't we? Ari walked in, I was nothing but smiles back there. And she said that when a little child would come in, and sometimes they were sick, and she would have to do things that were uncomfortable for the little child, she would always start with listening to their heart, and then she would take the stethoscope and put it in their ears and let them listen. And this one particular day, she said this little boy had come in, and she took the stethoscope and she put it in his ears, and she put it up to his heart and let him listen, and he was just... And she said, "Do you know what that is?" And he sat for a minute and he looked at her and he says, "Is that Jesus knocking?" Jesus never stops knocking. And neither should we. From Proverbs chapter 8, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." In Jeremiah chapter 8, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to return. And yet Jesus continues to knock at the door of their hearts. Does he ever stop? Does he ever give up? Then neither should we. I'll get there eventually. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. Now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. From the beginning, God knew that there would be a fall. He knew that sin would come into the lives of man, and yet He was not caught unawares. He had a plan from the very beginning, and that plan was Jesus Christ. And He calls men everywhere to believe in Him, to believe that God is, that He created all things, that there had to have been an opposition in all things, and because there was an opposition, there was a law fixed, that Adam and Eve should not partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and yet they rebelled, and they partook of that fruit, and so sin entered the world, and because sin entered the world, death came to all of us. Death was the answer, the demand of justice. The wages of sin was death. And yet God had prepared Jesus Christ from the beginning to come and to pay that price, to fulfill the requirements of justice, that our sins might be bought and paid for on the cross. And that all that would come unto Jesus and believe on Him and covenant with Him in the waters of baptism would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit would guide them in their walk and direct them in their paths and lead them back to God's presence. And because Jesus took up His life again after 3 days, came out of that tomb and was resurrected, we have the promise of the resurrection, that we too will have eternal life, that we'll be reunited, body and spirit, stand before God, to be judged according to our works. And during this lifetime, He's called us to be the salt and the light of the earth, to share with others, that they might have the same opportunity. Prepare your 5-minute testimony to share with the world. Someday you'll need to share that, for the very life depends upon it. And the hope of the return to the feet of the Master is given to all of us, can be there for all to share. We know that God is victorious in the end. We've read the end of the story. No spoiler alert there. But let's make sure that we help as many people find their way there as we possibly can, as we walk along this pathway of life, which leads us back to the Father.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning, O Father, with thanksgiving that we've been able to praise you and to worship your holiness. And as we've come, Father, we have come because we are thy children. And we ask now, O Lord, as we leave this place, that you would bless each one of us, for thou knowest each of our needs. And thou knowest, O Lord, that you call us to come up higher before you and to be able to share, O Father, our testimony with all the world. And we pray, Father, knowing that we need the gift and the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask, O Father, that as we go forth this week, that we go forth in prayer and in fasting and in seeking that these things, O Lord, would be fulfilled within our lives. And so as we ask these blessings, Father, we do that all the honor, the glory, and the praise would be for your holiness and for your kingdom here upon this earth. Bless us then to these ends, we pray in Christ's name, Jesus. Amen.